continue as we look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8.
This book of the law
shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's what we're looking at this point in time. This book of the law, simply put, is the word of God. The written, documented word of God. The Bible says, shall not depart from out of your mouth. We have seen so far that it does not necessarily mean that the word should be inside our mouth. What is saying essentially is that the word should be in our hearts. And we noted that in looking at the word of God in our hearts, we have to consider the state of the heart, because it is out of the abundance of what is in the heart that the mouth will speak. And so if we want the word of God to remain in our mouth, then we also want to be sure that the word of God is what is in our hearts. And we have noted that in the state in which the natural heart of man is, of course you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the spirit part of man. Man is a spirit who has a soul and who dwells in a body. So that spirit part of man, in the natural, is sinful, is fleshly, is worldly, is carnal, is proud, is arrogant, is stubborn, hates God, refuses to listen to the word of God, is constantly resisting the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. And so we know that that heart needs to be circumcised. The foreskin must be cut off. And we discover that after the foreskin has been cut off, we now begin to see what is inside the heart, and it's not a pretty sight at all. It's true, through and through mercy. So that we have to begin to remove these things that are in the heart. The stones, the thorns, the wrong desires, the lusts, the evil nature, all those things are in there and they need to be removed. And by the grace of God, that we did last week. Prayed about it, and I'm trusting the Almighty God that that has begun to take place. Indeed, for many of us, the problem has always been our ignorance to what is happening in our lives. But I'm trusting God that by now, we are open and we are ready to allow Him to remove all those things that are not needful. All those things that are in our hearts that have been clogging the heart. Because as long as those things are there, if the Word of God were to come in that state, what we are going to have is a mixture, a very horrible mixture that is never going to do anybody any good. So we want to press on from there. After we have removed everything from the heart, we now need to fill the heart. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to read from verse 43. From verse 43 to verse 45. Matthew chapter 12. From 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last stage of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is there telling us that after the heart of a man has been cleansed, after all the stones, all the thorns have been removed, if nothing is done about the heart of that man is going to be infested with more demons than you can ever imagine. I want to read also 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 18. From verse 18 through to 22. 2 Peter chapter 2. From verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 2. From verse 18 through to 22. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through the lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow or pig, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Having circumcised our hearts, which includes removing the foreskin and removing all the things that, all the, well, let's just call it yamayama, that's inside the heart, inside the human nature. We remove them completely. The place is now clean. It's now cleansed by the word of God. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, after Judas had been taken away, and Judas had left to go and betray him, in John 15, he said, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken. By reason of the word, all these things are uprooted out of our hearts. They have been removed. They have been taken out. Now the place is clean. If we don't feel it, if we don't feel it with the right kind of word, if we don't fill our hearts with the word, which is what the Lord was saying when he said, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. If you don't fill your heart with the right kind of word, you are going to be like who the Lord described in Matthew chapter 12. One who is now demon possessed beyond the beginning. Like Peter described, the dog going back to his own vomit. The pig, after you have washed it, it goes back into the mire. Actually, it is the nature of a pig to roll in the mud. You must first of all remove that nature from the pig. If you don't remove that nature from the pig, it will go back to roll in the mud after you have given it a bath. But if you could remove the nature of rolling in the mud from out of the heart of the pig and you give it a bath, the pig will remain clean. But it is in the nature of pigs to roll in the mud. It is in the nature of man to sin. But it is not in the nature of God to sin. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I read from verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Whoever commits sin is sinning against the law of God. Is contravening the word of God. That's what it means. A man who commits sin is a man who contravenes the word of God. So we're not just, when we talk of sin, we're not just talking of committing fornication, adultery, masturbation, lewdness, and so on and so forth. We are speaking about people who contravene the word of God. And you know that he, that is the Lord Jesus, was manifested, was revealed to us, was declared to us, was made known to us to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. In taking away our sins, he himself was without sin. Whoever abides in him does not what? Sin. Whoever abides in him, the man who abides in the Lord Jesus Christ has been circumcised in his heart. The foreskin of rebellion has been taken away. The stones and the thorns of this world, of the pleasures of this world, have been removed from such a person. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. These are strong words coming from one who should know. The word of God is telling us that whoever sins has neither seen God, the Lord Jesus Christ, nor known him. And we claim to know him. So there cannot be sin in us. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is what? Is righteous. Just as he that is, as the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous. The man who is practicing righteousness is a righteous man. In other words, a sinner cannot practice righteousness. So when you find a sinner living in sin, it is because that's who he is. His heart is still filled with sin. The old man, the sinful man, the sinful nature is still in him. Beloved, if indeed we have been circumcised, sin cannot and should not have dominion over us. Our lives should never be dominated by sin. In verse 7, it says, little children, in verse 8, rather, he who sins is of the devil. He who sins is of who? Is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The scriptures makes no bone about it. It's expressly clear about it. The man who makes a practice of sin is of the devil. He is evil, he is wicked. Anything can come from such a man. He may be your brother, he may be your sister in the natural, but he is evil nonetheless. He may be your father, he may be your mother, he may be your uncle, he may be your aunt, but he or she is evil nonetheless.
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of what? The devil. So if the Lord Jesus Christ is in you, what has happened? I'm asking a question now. What has happened? He has destroyed the works of the devil. So why should we still be engaging in the works of the devil?
Maybe he's not in us. Maybe that's the answer. Or perhaps we have become like the pig that has gone back to its wallet. We have become like that man whose heart was garnished, completely cleaned, put in order. But instead of receiving with the appropriate thing, he just thought salvation means I'm born again and that's it. Then the demons came back in. Worse than at the beginning. Is it any wonder that we find people, they give their lives to Christ. And shortly afterwards, they are doing things that they didn't even do when they were not born again. They are worse than when they were than when they had not known Christ in the first time. Verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remains in him. The seed of God in that man is going to begin to produce the fruits of righteousness. Will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Because a seed has been sown in that man. The word of God is in that man. That's what it's saying. If you are born indeed of God, the works of the devil have been destroyed from your life. Sin has no place in your life. Only the seed of God, which when watered by faith in us, will begin to bring forth fruit unto righteousness. It says, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. He did not say he may not. He cannot. He cannot with premeditation. He cannot knowingly. He cannot with determination. He cannot make up his mind to sin. He cannot. He cannot. One man of God tried to explain this. He said there's a difference between accidentally falling into a swimming pool and actually diving into the swimming pool to swim. There's a difference. When a man accidentally falls into the swimming pool, what does he quickly do? He looks for how to jump out of the thing, how to make his clothes dry and be okay again. If that man claims that he accidentally fell into the pool with his clothes and suddenly he's removing his clothes and he's swimming inside, it may have started by an accident. But it became a determined issue now. He must swim. That's what we're talking about. That even this circumcision has taken place in your life. You cannot premeditatedly, knowingly, be a practitioner of sin. You may tell a lie, and then the Holy Spirit will say, what did you just do? Quickly go and repent, and go and make it, go and tell that fellow the truth. You pick up the phone and say, sorry, I'm ashamed of myself. I lied. This is the truth. That's how it is done. But if a man tells a lie, and the Holy Spirit says to him, go and tell the truth. Say, what, how am I going to, I'm going to feel ashamed, and this and that. And then they ask you a question on that lie, because it always happens that way. What would you do? If you are indeed a child of God, you say, excuse me, please. That one I told you the first time was a lie. This is it. Because God has given you another opportunity to redeem your ways. But if you hold on to that lie and you build on that lie with more lies, then we know that indeed the seed of God is not in you. It is the seed of the devil that is in you. He said, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Why can he not sin? Because he has been born of God. Have you ever seen a cat give birth to a lion? Have you ever seen it before? A cat can only give birth to a cat. A mouse will give birth to a mouse. A goat to a goat. A human being to another human. God cannot give birth to a sinner. God gives birth to righteous people. They may be sinners when they first come in. But by the time he's bringing them out, he has removed what needs to be removed. They are cleansed. Verse 10. In this, in what? In this issue of the seed being born of God, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are clearly manifest. They are distinct. This is how we distinguish between a child of God and a child of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Let's end it there. This is how we know. Remember when we started, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, we noted that a good tree can only produce good fruit. And a bad tree can only produce bad. Make that bad tree good, and what will happen? Its fruit will be good. And the tree that is good, turn it to bad, and its fruit will be. By their fruit we shall know them.
Not by the tree, but by the fruit. So are we seeing the fruit of righteousness or the fruit of the spirit as it is? Or are we seeing the works of the flesh? The works of wickedness? What are we seeing? So that's how we know the people who practice righteousness, these are the children of God. Even in an unrighteous environment, righteousness is what they are thinking of. Righteousness is their work, is their hallmark. That's what they are noted for. They will not tell a lie. They seek the things of God. Therefore, having said all that we have said, after the heart of man has been circumcised, it must now be filled appropriately. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may prove, you may show, you may test, and know. You may be able to say with every certainty that this is the will of God. And if you look at there, it tells us about the will of God. It says that first, it is what? It is good. It is good. It was God's will that the Lord Jesus should go to the cross. Was that a good will? Yes, it was good. It was the will of God that he suffer, that he be beaten, that thorns be put on him, that he be ridiculed, that he hang on the cross and be nailed to the cross, suffer and die on the cross. It was good. It's acceptable. Hollywood did not accept it, but God accepted it. You and I may not accept it, but it's acceptable to God. The will of God is always, always acceptable to God. And finally, it is perfect. You can't add to it, you can't subtract from it. That's the will of God. Now, this scripture tells us that someone who is just born again, who has not filled his heart, whose heart has not been renewed with the word of God, with the right substance, he cannot even prove, he cannot know, he cannot test what the will of God is. So a man comes to you and says, bro, you know, I've been looking for work, and I found, and suddenly three companies gave me employment. One is Shell, the other one is a Presidential Hotel, and the last one is a one-man company. They're not paying much there. Presidential Hotel is middle, Shell is the real thing. In fact, you won't find such a man coming to ask you any question, because there and then he will tell you what he's going to do. What job you think he's going to pick? Thank you very much. But a man who is born of the Spirit of God, with those three offers, what do you think is uppermost in his heart? To prove what is the will of God. And he may discover that none of these three is the will of God. That is uppermost in his heart. It's not that he got a job. No, he's good. He's happy that he's receiving offers. But the question is, Lord, which one? And the Lord may say, none. I say, okay, sorry, I declined the offer. You cannot prove the will of God until your mind is renewed. So it's one thing to empty your heart of the nature of sin, of the nature of the flesh, of carnality. It's a completely different thing. So now refill the heart with the right kind of stuff. Some people have been born again. Haven't been born again. They went to a church where all they preached to them was prosperity. And what was it that filled their heart now? Prosperity. From a carnal viewpoint, the making of money. What has happened to that heart now? It has gone back to the old nature. And you find that man pursuing money in a way that he never pursued before when he wasn't born again. And he says, it's the anointing that is making me chase. It's a lie. The clean heart has been opened up, to worse demons than before. And his pursuit is now of worldly things. That's why Romans 2 says, and do not be conformed. Do not be fashioned after. Do not be formed along the lines of this world. This new heart that you have, don't allow the things of this world to enter in. Block them out. Don't allow the way they do things in the world to enter in there. Block it out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you learn business methods, the way of the world in the church, all that is going to come out of your mouth is business methods. And if you read any management book, what do they say is the goal of an organization? To make profit. They don't care what the organization, the way the world reads, they don't care what the organization is. The goal is to make profit. They can now introduce ethics to placate their consciences. But the goal is to make profit. That's their goal. And if they're not making profit, what do? They sack workers. That's how the world operates organization. But when you come to a godly organization, what is the goal of a godly organization? Who knows? What would we call the goal? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So quite frankly, all these schools that Christians are doing, and those schools are not imputing righteousness in anybody, they're not teaching anybody the right things,
They're not teaching people to seek God. Those schools have gone the way of the world.
Do you understand what we're talking about? The point I'm trying to make is this. Unless your heart is filled with the right stuff, what is going to come out is exactly what you put in there. I think there's a computer language that says garbage in, garbage out. So you put in garbage, you're going to get garbage out. You put in righteousness, all that can come out is righteousness. And so the Bible says we should not be conformed. Don't allow the world to put you in its form. The world has a mold. Don't allow them to squeeze you into their mold. And many of us have been squeezed into the mold of the world. We have been reshaped, even though we are born again, we have been reshaped into the mold of the world. I'm sure you know that this scripture was written to Christians. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. So, when he says to Christians, be not conformed, he's telling you, some of you have already been, he was writing to the Christians in Rome. Rome was the world capital in those days. He was writing to them. It's like sometimes like when I go to Lagos, and I see people who say they are Christians in Lagos, I shake my head, I say, ha, these ones are Christians. Lord have mercy. I'm sure a man who has a church in Ogoni, when he comes to Port Harcourt, and he sees us, he will say, are these ones Christians? Lord have mercy. Because, quite frankly, we have been molded into the format of the world. You see, when the world, when you are into manufacturing and you make your mold, everything comes out the same way. Everything comes out the same mold. Because you are stamping on it, everything comes out the same way. Mass production. But when God is doing his work in us, each person is molded in a particular image. The image of Christ. Keep a finger on Romans chapter 12. And let's go back a little bit to Romans chapter 8. And we'll read verse 20. Let's read from 28 to 29. From 28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed. That same word, conformed, to be molded, to be fitted to the image of his son, that he might be, that is, the son might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the issue of circumcision and removing all the things in our hearts is so that we can be what? Conformed. We already had the form of the world. Now we are being put into a mold, the mold of Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. For us to be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 12:2 is telling us, but be transformed. When you use the word trans, what does that mean? To move from one point to another. Transport. From one port to another. Transfer. Take from one place to another. Transform. Take from one form to a completely different form. And we are talking of a transformation. In reality, it's an irreversible change. That's what the transformation is. By the renewing of your mind. The mind must be renewed. One translation, or is it a commentary that says, it is called a renovation. A renovation. I remember, I think I told you the story, when we're renovating where I'm staying now, my house, how we removed all the bath, the toilets, removed all those things, completely removed them. And brought in new ones. We removed the tiles, the old tiles. We took them away. We took out the doors. Brought in brand new doors. We knocked on the floor. Removed the old tiles that were there. Cracked the old screening and brought in fresh tiles. It was a work of renovation. We didn't break down the entire building, but we changed some parts of the building, maintaining the structural integrity of the building, and yet changing the entire. So, if somebody had known the old house and enters the new world, what is he going to find? A completely different house. He may recognize a few of the layout, but he will still be lost in the new one. That is what a transformed mind is. It's the same man, but his thinking has changed. He's no longer thinking the way he used to think. He's now thinking differently. His thoughts are the thoughts of God. His mind has been renewed, has been renovated. All things have been removed. All things have become what? New. Tiling has been done. New toilets have been put in place. New doors, new walls. Windows created in some places. Windows sealed in some places. He has become a new man. He has been renewed to begin to do the things that he was brought into Christ
to do. You see, all that we are talking about, this issue of changing the heart and so on and so forth, God is not just engaging in a fruitless, vain exercise. He is doing it with a view to taking you somewhere. The unrenovated heart cannot enter heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So God must bring you to the place where your heart is changed, is transformed, so that you can inherit the kingdom. So that you can be useful and productive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. We read this during the ministers' ministry team meeting. Ephesians 4. We read a portion of this from 17 to 32. Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. These are the people who are still in the world. This is how they walk. Their minds are futile. They talk big about making money. And you are asking, make money for what purpose? They don't know. They want to build another house. They have built a mansion. They want to build another one. And they are wondering what is going on. You hear of, when we read the papers, our sensibilities are charred. One human being amassing billions of naira, if not trillions of naira. To what end? When is going to die? What is the purpose? People buying up streets in different countries. To what purpose? To what end? Futility of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. These are people who don't have the life of God in them. Like I mentioned earlier, how do you go to the mortuary to learn from corpses? How are corpses clothed? Corpses, when you go to the mortuary, you just see corpses. It doesn't matter male or female. They just throw them on the ground anyhow. They treat them anyhow. And then that's what we are going to do. We're going there to copy how they dress. Naked. And we say, you know, it's the fashion of the world. It's the new fashion now. That's what is reigning now. We are the first to declare the fashions of this world. The Bible says, don't be like them. Don't walk in that way anymore. These people are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They don't have the knowledge of Christ in them. So they are alienated from God because of the blindness of their heart. Their hearts have not been opened. Your hearts have been opened. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. This is who they are. Why do you want to be like them? Why should you even desire to be like them? If indeed the seed of righteousness is in you. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. That's not how you were taught about Christ. When Christ came, he came to expound and espouse a kingdom, the kingdom of God. I didn't see the Lord Jesus engage himself in the politics of Rome. I didn't find him engaged in the politics of the Jews. They wanted to make him king. He escaped from them. Now we are hearing in our churches that we should encourage people to go and run elections. And I'm wondering, on what party platform? Who are the people who are heading those platforms? Those parties? Those political parties? Is there righteousness there? You are thinking of going to talk to people about voting. The people who are surrounding you are already, they've already reached the elections. And you say you're a Christian? This is my take on this matter of Christians in politics. You want to go to politics? Form a party. All Christians go and form a party. Call it whatever name you want to call it. But let things be done righteously. Then I will know that indeed you're a believer. Go and canvass for elections the normal way. Don't tell lies. Tell them it's going to be bad before it gets good. Don't say, when I come there, I'm going to do this. In the first 4 years, I will finish it. Don't lie. Don't tell them, I'm coming only for one term. Then before we know what's happening, you want two terms. You want a third term. You're not a Christian, you're a liar, a child of the devil. There's no transformation that has taken place in your heart. That is the simple truth. If indeed you have heard him, that is Jesus, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, the truth is in him. What the only thing you can hear from Christ is the truth. The only thing you can be taught of him is the truth. Have you been taught the truth? Verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. It is corrupt. One small sin and it is spreading. It is spreading. It is spreading. The old man grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Put it off. And verse 23, what does it say? And be renewed, where? In the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, be renovated. Let changes take place. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and what? Holiness. You must put off
before you can put on. You can't put on while you are putting on what you should have put off. Otherwise, you have a contaminated thing. So you must remove that one first before you can begin to bring in the new one. And it says that you are to be renewed as you are putting on the new man, which was created. It was what? It was what? It's not something borrowed. It was created by God. A work of creation. Salvation is actually a work of recreation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It was recreated. Just like the old world was recreated. The old world had chaos, darkness, was void, was empty. But when the Holy Spirit came and the Word of God was introduced, what happened? The work of renovation began. Let there be light, there was light. Let the waters be separated, there was separation. Let ground come, let vegetation take place, and so on and so forth, until man was created and put into that garden. In the same way, you are being recreated. And that work of recreation, the Bible says, is fashioned by God in true righteousness and holiness. There's no fake in it. It's not the man who says, praise the Lord on Sunday in church, and then after he has done praise the Lord on Sunday, He's superintending iniquity till the next Sunday. I think I've said it before, that if you want to know a true Christian, you are going to check. Well, I said two things before, make it three now. Number one, his humility. Number two, his holy living. Number three, his love for all men, whether they are Christians or not. He treats all men equally, regardless of who they are, whether they are Muslims, Sikhs, or whatever. His uppermost desire is to bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't put them aside. He doesn't discriminate and pack them aside. When he's relating with them, he's not with a view to becoming like them. He's with a view to finding the right place where he can preach the word of God to them. Verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, because now corruption has been removed from the heart. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. In other words, don't allow corrupt words to enter your heart. Many of us don't know the things to listen to. We don't know what to watch on TV and what not to watch. We watch everything alike. We listen to everything alike. And it forms our speech because it's entering into the heart. Don't let these things proceed into your heart. You're watching TV, you begin to see the thing, you turn it off instantly. Change the channel or whatever. But get out of that place. Very soon, if you're not careful, the thing will be resounding in your ears, what you have been hearing. Before you know what's happening, you will not be able to sing praise to God again. It's the song you heard that you'll be singing. And the stupid way they were dancing is how you now want to begin to dance. I'm not talking of just TV, even the internet. Because now there are phones that can watch anything on the internet, and many people are the ones that are quick to watch that thing that become viral. The videos that go viral are usually the ones that project iniquity. Those are the ones that go viral. It doesn't matter which country it was taken. You will see it spread all over. But truth doesn't go viral. Truth has to be painstakingly passed across. Determinately passed across to somebody that you know. You throw it out there, it just bounces off. And then we find believers. Instead of propelling that truth, they are propelling iniquity. Look at the Facebooks of Christians. And you'll be shocked at the kind of things that you find there. One so-called Christian was sending lewd images around of a woman whose boyfriend, a married woman who had a boyfriend, and then they had a quarrel, and they just pasted the naked pictures of this woman on Facebook. A Christian, and one of his friends happens to be his pastor's wife, and then my wife happened to be a friend to his pastor's wife. That's how the thing came onto my. We had to look for how to expose. In fact, first of all, we befriended the pastor's wife, so that thing can no longer be on her. Yes! And of course, the pastor's wife was shocked that such a thing was from her own member. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I don't think many of us understand this verse. When I was a young believer, this was a major scripture for us as young believers.
He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We ask, how do you grieve Him? When you do things that He dislikes. He's grieved.
The Bible talks about, what's his name now? Lot. He said, that righteous man's heart was grieved by the things which he saw. When we practice iniquity, the Spirit of God in us is grieved. And he may actually leave, as he did in the case of Samson. You know, when people preach about Samson, they never speak about the things. They talk about how his hair began to grow again. And they never tell us that shortly after the hair grew again, he fell down the entire stadium and he died. They don't tell us what happened that made him to cut his own hair. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Can you imagine the person who is going to show you up on the day of redemption, that you are grieving him? Who is going to seal? Who is going to reveal you on the day of redemption? When you have grieved the one who is going to reveal you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, let these things be removed from us. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Do we need to explain that? Do we need to explain verse 2? But we have been taught to set our minds on the things of the earth, not on the things above. He says, for you died. Did you know that you are dead? Dead to the world? Dead to sin? Let me use the illustration that one man of God used. Very apt illustration. He said, let's assume that there's this man. He was known as a terror to girls in the neighborhood. Any girl that even comes to visit in that neighborhood, he will make sure that he chases her, captures her, and he sleeps with her. That was who that man was. Then he died. The man died. And they lay him in a room, stark naked. They just used a small cloth to cover him. Then the girls came and said, we missed that brother. Let's go and see him. So they enter into the room where they have kept him naked. And they are there. Can I ask you a question? If those girls even strip themselves naked and say, maybe he will wake up. Will that man wake up? He's dead. That's what it means to be dead. The things that moved you should no longer move you. You are dead. You are dead to the flesh. You are dead to the world. A lot of money moved you at one time. You should no longer move you. If riches increase, set not your heart. Maybe one time when you saw it, you said, wow, look at this house. You almost died with that house. Now you are dead to the house. It doesn't mean anything anymore. To a dead man, those things don't mean anything. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is in Christ. When Christ, who is our light, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death or mortify your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Get these things out of your life. It's talking to Christians, not non-Christians. We have been circumcised, so what are these things still doing in our lives? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I don't know if many of us believe that God is going to judge the wicked, and that if he finds iniquity in the church, he will judge it. I don't think we believe it. Because the rate at which iniquity is being perpetrated and being espoused, even by those who should know, is as if the word of God doesn't mean anything. Verse 7. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You don't know the kind of jokes that we say we are cracking. There are some jokes that you are wondering. Are these believers? A night of 1,000 laughs. You see believers going there, raising up their legs and laughing like whatever. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. If you say you have put off, why are you lying? It includes being deceptive. Some of us have mastered the art. We know how to look so that we will gain sympathy. So we look that way to gain sympathy. No! You don't need to do that anymore. Women especially, they know how to cry. When they have done something wrong, they will come and cry. You will think, oh, we need to kill this man. But she's the offender. But she has practiced it. Now that she claims to be born again, it hasn't changed. That nature is still there. You have put it off. Let it go. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You have been brought into the image, the same image of Christ. Is Christ a liar? I'm asking. Is Christ a fraud? Did he defraud anybody? Was he dishonest? Did he tell a lie?
Did he say, I work a miracle only to find that the problem has come back when the man did not sin?
And recreated in him,
where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Honestly speaking, I don't see where you are from.
I'm from this. It is only for the purpose of
the world, the nation that we live in, that we talk of the color of our passports and where we are from. In Christ is irrelevant. I just know a Christian. I don't know if he's northerner. I don't know if he's southerner. I don't know if he's southerner. I don't know if he's southerner. Let me tell you something. You see this issue of north, south, east, west, Niger Delta, no Niger Delta, middle belt and everything. It is the creation of men who thrive on chaos and confusion. There are men who will be out of job in this country if there is peace in Nigeria. How do you know that? If this country is reigning in peace, they will never be able to make money. They are set on causing confusion in the land. And we Christians, we are taking sides. And with this man and with that man. We are with a politician. God forbid. I remember telling somebody that, politician. He said, are you saying that believers, you know? I said, you're a believer, you cannot be a politician. You're a believer. They must know you as a believer. I said, I believe that a believer can be appointed to office, but that a believer will go and contest election. I'm here to see how he will do it righteously. In a nation where we know that they rig elections, do you control? And then who are the people who you have brought into your employ? Are they believers or thugs? So how do you tell me that you won election righteously? It's not possible. And then they make you commissioner. The governor who makes you commissioner, you tell the governor from the one, sir, hey, those small notes, if you are going to be bringing notes, okay, let me go. I won't do this job. The governor will know and will tell his party men, you see that ministry, don't go there. I put that man there for a purpose. Let him do my work for me. Go to this other ministry and there are your brothers there. It must be known. If you are a Christian, they make you DPO. DPO of a station. And they are still taking breath in that station. You are not a believer with impact. Because I tell you the truth. Whatever we see on the bottom, it is what is approved. If you find sin in a church, go and check the pastor. He approved of it. He approved of it. Overtly or covertly, he approved. If you find people who say they are Christians acting lawlessly, go to the church. Go to the pulpit. You will find lawlessness in that pulpit. Because what you have seen of the pastor that they do. One day we were watching a man preaching. And there was somebody sitting right in front of the pastor. My heart was shaking and vibrating. I said, what are you shaking and vibrating for? He said, look at that man. He's wearing a cap. I said, leave him now. He said, no! And in front of the pastor, shouldn't the man of God be looking at the man and say, oh God, remove your cap. You're in the house of God. That's what was allowed. When the pastor has allowed women to come to church uncovered, will he disallow a man to come to church covered? He can't. He has to allow the man to come to church covered. Because he has allowed women to come uncovered. Iniquity in the church is authorized and sanctioned from the pulpit. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. Let's pause there. If you say the elect of God, holy and beloved of God, let's begin to see tender mercies. I see Christians with all the fasting. If you see the kind of pay they pay their workers, you'll be wondering, how do these people, I'm not talking of people who are, I can understand you paying a token to your house help because the house help is living in your house, eating in your house and so on. But I'm talking of somebody who has to travel to your house to work. You are paying something that the transport alone will bring that. So all you just want is that person to come. That's all. That's what we get. You have not given that fellow anything to have as savings or as extra income. Nothing. It's just for transport. So that he can come and do your work. You have a slave. You're not thinking of the good of them for them. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. We don't see these things again in the church of God. Instead, we see people who are puffing. Do you know what I can do to you? I will curse you, a pastor. I will curse you. If you try that, I will curse a pastor. I was at one time, went to Aba at a roadblock. I saw one place. The policeman was just fuming and leaving the place, carrying the corner. I said, Oga, what's the problem? No, don't want to talk to him. So Oga came and told him to go and sit. So I went to Oga. I went to the Oga. I said, Oga, I want to talk to that man. I want to talk to the man. Allow me to talk to the man. So I went to the man and said, what happened? He said, can you imagine? This man is driving and asking for the papers of his, the glass is tinted or something. Asking for the papers for the tinted. He says he's a pastor. I said, so what? I didn't ask you who you are. I said, give me the papers of your paper. The pastor turned around and said, I will curse you. He just grabbed the papers and went to sit down.
said, hey, we want to work. I will wait here for you to call me.
So by the time, it was difficult for me to say, I also am a pastor. But I told him, I said, well, brother, I said, Oga, me, when they talk to you, I'll be pastor. He said, Oga, I believe you say you'll be pastor. That one, I hope you are no Christian, I'm pastor.
And when I saw the man, I wondered, I said, brother, what happened? He was now meek, was calm. He had been cowered by the policeman. I pleaded and said, no. This one, no, I will want making sure or say be pastor. So I told the brother, I said, Oga, may I have to continue my journey? I know that we're not supposed to give them anything. So you better call, it was a pastor from out of town. So you better call, that they belonged to a church that had branches. I said, you better call anybody around here, or some of the pastors, they may know them, so they can come get involved with the DPOs and let it go down and get you released. So that's the best I can advise you. But that is what is going on today. We have gathered an air around us. Because I'm a pastor, I will curse you. What do you mean by your curse? Somebody says, I'm leaving this church and I'm going. They say, a curse follow you to where you are going to. What nonsense is that? God has called us to bless, not to curse. What are we doing? If indeed we have put on the new man, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. This is a major thing that is lacking in Christians. Forgiveness. As few as we are, there's a lot of unforgiveness here. And that kind of heart, we cannot begin to feel it. Forgiveness is tough. Something happened to me this last weekend. I booked business class on a particular airline. Let me not mention their name. Lo and behold, I get to the airport. And they say, oh, I can see that you have a business class ticket, but the aircraft that has come has no business class cabin. I said, you should have told me when I was booking now that the aircraft will not have business class.
I went.
When I was coming back, the same thing. What was the reason why I'm paying that money is I want to sit in an aircraft with peace and sleep for the 45 minutes that is taking me from Lagos to Port Harcourt. That's why I want to just sleep and enjoy myself. Let me stay in puffy seat, not the one that one fellow is yanking you and badging you in the middle or wherever. Then I'm coming back and I end up in row 23. Even though they gave me seat 1. So what kind of airline is this? So I was fuming while I was sitting down there. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, and you explain why you are fuming. And I discovered that I had no explanation. He said, is it the air hostess that annoyed you? Why are you filming? Is it the pilot that has annoyed you? Why are you filming? I just said, laugh. Because if it's true, it meant there was no. What am I filming for? Are they the ones who sold me the ticket? They're not the ones who sold the ticket. They are just operators. So what am I getting angry for? And honestly speaking, it freed my heart. I was able to travel. I was able to enjoy C23. Even though it was cramped and everything, I just enjoyed it and enjoyed myself.
Of course, I'm going to make a claim for my refund. They will refund it so that they won't try it again next time.
But what I'm trying to say here is that many of us don't have a heart to forgive. And let me tell you how God helps us. The same way he came to ask me, the same way he will ask you. Why are you angry with this person? Don't tell me anything. Don't say anything. I want to be angry. Say, let him be angry.
And we remain in unforgiveness. We are bitter. And we can't move forward with our lives.
Every time you see the person, your face will just, everything in your body will just scatter. Like Haman and Mordecai. No matter how happy Haman is, once he sees Mordecai, he's sad. His whole stomach will turn.
No, nobody should be so overpowering to dominate you. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
This is the teaching of Christ.
Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.
God did not teach us to go and avenge ourselves. Never. He says vengeance is, he will repay. But above all, now 14, 15, 16, note. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's another word for richly? Abundantly. Excessively. Load yourself with the word of God. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. You cannot teach in psalms and hymns when the word of God is not richly. When it is dwelling, you know what it means to dwell? What does it mean to dwell? To live. When it is living in you abundantly, all that can come out of you is what? Hymns and psalms. Scripture, Proverbs, Genesis, Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, James, Hebrews, 1 Timothy, 2. Those are the things that can come out of your mouth. Scriptures. They say, oh, man of God, I'm going through a lot. Endure hardness, like a true soldier of Jesus Christ. Knowing that the farmer who sows shall also be partaker. If you endure hardness, you will be partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Say, wow.
What have you done to the fellow? You have exhorted him. You have encouraged him. But when he comes and says, oh boy, I'm sorry. Say, oh, sorry.
This kind is not good for you. You have emaciated.
The fellow has, you have killed him the more. He didn't know he had emaciated. He only knew he was going through troubles. Now you have got to inform him again that he has emaciated. So the next person is going to see, say, not only am I suffering, I've emaciated. He said, oh,
See your leg, you have swollen up.
You have added another problem to him. He has not only suffering, emaciated, now his leg is swollen. You are the one giving him the information. Instead of encouraging him and exhorting him, and maybe rebuking him sharply. And this is what we told you to do. You didn't do it. Look at the result. Now go back and do it.
Say, it's true.
Why? Because the word of Christ is what?
Dwelling.
It has taken up residence in you. If you come to my house, there are two people that we have taking care of my father-in-law. One goes and comes. The other stays in-house. You know there's a difference. During the daytime, you see them there together. You think they're all residents. Wait until it's 7, 8 at night. Then you see one fellow carrying a bag and going, and the other stay. Let the word of God not come for visitation. What should you do? Let you come and stay there. Too many times the word of God is on visit. We go to church and he visits. Because by the time we are leaving church, we put it off. We're not putting off the old man. It's the word that we have put off. And we put on the old man back. We say, this word, you need to be wise. He said, be as wise as serpents. We have to be like snakes to deal with the world. Is that what he said? He said, be as wise as serpents, but as harmless as... No, we don't... The wisdom that we have is the cruelty of the serpent. We go and lie in wait. To pounce and strike. We put it on. We put it off when we come into church. And put on the word in service. And we pray and shake our heads and shake our legs and shake our bodies until we're almost dropping dead. When you say amen, say, thank God he stopped. For don't die today. Then when we say amen, let's go home. Say, thank God. Word, this is where you belong. Stay. Oya, serpent, come on. Let's go back. We are going to deal with them. While you were praying, you have looked at the fellow you are going to discipline on Monday. You can't wait for, you can't sleep. You know what the Bible says about the wicked people? It says they can't sleep until they have done that wicked thing that is in them. Their blood pressure is always going up because they haven't done a wicked thing. When they have done wickedness, the blood pressure will come down. He says a healthy man is a lie, is a wicked man. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When the word of God is dwelling where? Richly, 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 abounding in you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. It is what is abounding in your heart that you will say. Remember, we noted that I am indicting your heart is bubbling with what is there to bring it out. But the Spirit of God will control you, will control your speech, so you know what to say and when to say it and where to say it. This same thing is repeated in Ephesians. By the way, Ephesians and Colossians is believed they were written about the same time. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, you find almost the same thing there. By the time you get to chapter 5, you will see a similar thing there where it talks about speaking to one another in spaces. Ephesians 5, let's read from verse 15 just to 19 or to 20. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then he goes on to say, wives, even though we're telling you to submit to one another, wives, do what? Submit to your own husbands. Praise the name of the Lord. And of course, husbands, love your wives. So basically, this is the point we are trying to make. Having been circumcised in the heart, having uprooted the old man from the heart, it must not be refilled with the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and holiness. We must now fill the heart with the word of God, the undiluted word of God. Put it there. What's the word now? Press it down there. Shake it and press it, compress it, until it is all in there. Because later we are going to look at why this is necessary. We're going to look at why you are filling the heart with the word. In 1 Peter chapter 2,
from verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking.
As newborn babes, he's telling you, you must first of all put it, you cannot begin to desire or feel that until these things have been removed. You must deal with those things first.
Because if you bring the word of God in where these things are, you are going to breed a hypocrite. You are going to breed a deceiver, a fraudster, someone who looks okay on the outside, but inside is wicked. You see him in church, you say, my beloved brother, say, my beloved sister. You don't know that he has planned how he's going to rape you. So you think that you are with a brother. One day you'll be left alone with that brother in the house. That's when you will know that he's a demon. He will pick a knife, and if you cry now, you are a dead person. You say, what happened, bro? I say, bro, or brony? So I've been looking at you since you think you come on, remove your clothes now. You are wondering, is my brother? Which brother?
The Lord will help us.
Remove all these things. Then, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. What will he do? What did he say? That what should happen?
That you may grow thereby.
That you may grow thereby.
There can be no spiritual growth when there is no spiritual food in the spirit of man.
You cannot take in junk and grow spiritually. You are going to be growing in junk, but not in the spirit. Fill yourself with the pure, undiluted word of God. It is what will make you grow.
I remember, was it when Jediah was small? The mother was breastfeeding him, but the milk wasn't coming out as you come out. So I think they were trying to make synthetic milk or something. He threw the thing out, he rejected it. A newborn baby. He said, this is not the one I need. He threw it. You must know what to throw out. He said, this is not what I need. This one will not make me grow. I need my mother's breast. And God is the double-breasted one, the El Shaddai God. We only call him El Shaddai because we want money. No. He's El Shaddai because he will feed us and fill us with his very life and his very word. As we close, I want to note the Knox version of that portion of scripture. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. This is what it says. The law thou hast in writing must govern every utterance of thine. This word that you have, that is written, this written word, must what? Govern every word that you speak. You are not permitted to speak the language of the world. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. You are not permitted to speak a word that is not documented in the Bible. That's basically what it says. So all this story that we've been telling, all this long teachings that we've been going, is to get you to the place where you can give the right utterance. The right utterance. You can speak what you ought to be speaking as you should be speaking it. But many of us, we come to church, we hear a message, we go back home, we throw the Bible in one corner to resume next week. It is never opened. It is never read. If it is read, it is never studied. And even if we study it, we never put it to practice. We only recite for the purpose of recital. But not with a view to knowing that we should be uttering the words of God. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, let your speech always be with grace. If the word of God is dwelling richly in you, you know this will happen. Your word, the word, the speech will always, not sometimes, always be seasoned with grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. If the word of God is there, dwelling richly in all wisdom, you will know that the way you answered A is not the way you answered B. A may need a hard, firm word. B may need soft encouragement. You know how to answer each person as the Spirit of God is giving you what? Utterance. But when you have filled your heart with junk, there's nothing for the Spirit of God to give you to utter. You can only utter the junk that is in your mouth. There are many Christians speaking gutter language, not the language of God. The language of God is the language of faith. I hope you know that. It is because we are uttering junk. That is why people can come and be throwing all kinds of banners. The God of impossibility. Don't we know that? Don't we know that? Are you telling me? Are you giving us fresh information? We know that. When you speak the language of faith, you speak the language of optimism. When you speak the language of faith, you look at impossibility and say, thus says the Lord, all things are possible. This one shall also come to pass. You speak the language of faith. Not the language of fear. Not the language of unbelief. Not the language of doubt. Too many times, I hear Christians uttering from their mouth a language that tells us what is inside the heart. They speak a language that does not engender faith in anybody. They say, this thing, when pastor talk, I don't know how you can do it. I don't know. He
Like the pastor just is talking about.
That's not the language of faith.
And many of us speak it. We may not even utter it out, but it is there in our thoughts.
Say what pastor says is not possible. It's not possible. Let's leave that thing alone.
The word of God. Not the pastor's word. The word of God. And that is why many people's lives are not witnessing the miracles of God. Because we're not giving room to God.
I think we shared on Acts chapter 3 before. The man who was healed at the gate, beautiful. How the Bible said that it was a notable miracle. I used to think it was the fame of the miracle. No. To those who could explain to me that the reason why it was notable is everybody saw that blind man. That lame man. Everybody saw him. They knew him with that problem. So when the miracle was done, it was notable. You couldn't refute it. Many of us are hiding. We don't have money. We behave as if we have. Then we go and run into serious debt. These of us to be seeking the face of God for progress, we are now going backward to dealing with debt that we are owing. May the Lord have mercy on us all. I didn't hear your amen. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. What does salt do? Salt gives taste. What does the salt do? It preserves. Your speech should preserve the integrity of a person. Don't tear the person down. The fellow has no more integrity in himself. Preserves that person. Sweetens the life of people. If indeed the word of God is dwelling richly in us, this book of the law, this written word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, must not be lacking in your spirit man. It must indwell your spirit man. The next time we discuss this subject matter, we shall be looking at why we have to feel it. When you buy a new computer, what is the first thing you do after you have started it? What's the first thing you do? You begin to load it with programs. Begin to load it. You know the reason why you brought the computer, right? What are the software I need? I want to process. I want to do word processing. I need to do some calculations. So I need Excel. I need PowerPoint presentation. I need, what's it called now? The database. Because I need to build database. So you know the software you are buying. There's software that you can just buy just Word. You can just buy Excel. Or you can buy the composition of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Then you go for Office Professional where you can add database. So you know what you are buying and you load it. Maybe you are a graphic artist. You get, what's it called now? Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, or Corel Draw. You load it in. The kind of things you want that computer to do for you, you load it. It was what you put in when you were purchasing it. I know in Nigeria, you just go and buy a computer. Over there, they give you permission to reconfigure what you are looking for. So computers take a long time for it to get to you because they are custom built for you. I'm going to need a lot of space because I'm doing video editing. So they say, okay, so you choose a 16 gigabyte, what do you call those things now? RAM and DIMMs and this and that. You configure the motherboard. They give it to you. You know the software that you want. You start loading the software, preparing it for the work it's going to do. The reason why this book of the law shall not depart from out of that mouth, you shall begin to see it. Remember, it was spoken to Joshua, right? And it was said, that's how you are going to make your way prosperous. And the Lord is speaking to all of us here. We are also the Joshuas of this generation. Fill your heart with the word. And I want us to begin to do it. Let's not just be hearers. Let's be doers. Let's begin to fill our hearts with the word of God. Begin to fill it with the word of God. Read. Just put it in there. Just don't worry. Put it in there. If you have never read the Bible from cover to cover before, start. It may take you 3.5 years the first try. Start. If you have read it before, you can start again. Read it again. Just be filled. Just be, all you are doing is you are loading the software in there. You are filling yourself with the word of God. Once in a while, the Holy Spirit will stop you somewhere and say, let's study this verse. Then you fill yourself with that one verse that you are studying. You fill yourself. Opportunity will come for you to express it. You will express it. As I was studying the Bible yesterday, the Lord shared something with me. Very beautiful thing. This is what the Lord was explaining this verse to me. And if you are really speaking to another believer like yourself, you will have sweet fellowship together. Because as you are telling him what the Lord is telling you, she will be telling you, you know, this is how the Lord explained this thing to me. This is beautiful, though. You have gained something from her, she has gained something from you, from the same scripture. But is that what we do? We are walking around with all kinds of crazy people. People who have no respect for the word of God. They say, now Bible you still David. Me, anytime I get around, I go to my pastor. I just go see my pastor. I will just feel like he just lay hands on me. Things they happen. That is the biggest lie that somebody ever told himself. That you will just. Do you know a child? I go work. Me, I know they work. I live with my papa. Once I get hungry, I just go inside the kitchen and eat. You know, it's just a matter of time before that boy is thrown out by his very parents. You throw him at home. Come on, I look for something to do. He wants us to be feeding you from. Till when? When will it stop? Don't allow people to fool you. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth.
Let's bow our heads to pray.
I don't know what has filled your heart.
I know that last week we talked about removing those things. Maybe there are still some things lurking somewhere.
It's time to get rid of them. It's time to get rid of them today.
Once and for all, let them be removed from our hearts. Once and for all,
let them be taken out completely. We shouldn't go back there again.
Allow God to do the work of renovation He wants to do.
Let Him bring the changes that He wants to bring. And then be open to fill that heart, that new heart,
with the pure, undiluted Word of God.
Don't allow men to dilute the Word of God for you. It's not going to help you. It will only make you a diluted Christian. Remember when we were doing chemistry in secondary school? We were excited by the name conch. It said concentrated hydrochloric acid. None of us wanted diluted hydrochloric acid. But they told us that the conch is very dangerous. The diluted one, if you touch it and you can use water to wash it, the conch one would have burnt it before it was happening. We want the conch one so that we too can be concentrated. We don't want the diluted one. We want the undiluted Word of God. The pure and sincere Word of God. That we may grow thereby. If the Word is not pure and sincere, we are not going to grow in the things of the Spirit. We may grow in the things of the flesh, but we definitely will not grow in the things of the Spirit. I want you to talk to the Lord. Address these issues. It's something you want to make a prayer focus from now on till when next we meet to discuss this issue. Make sure that you fill your heart with the Word of God. Make sure that you load your heart with the Word of God. Wake up every day and read a portion of Scripture. Let it sink deep inside. Let it sink deep inside. Let it sink deep inside of you. Just be taking it in. Be taking it in. Try as much as possible. And don't let a day pass before without you loading yourself with the Word of God. Because you are going to see its application in future. You will see how useful it is. We don't want to discuss that yet. We just want you to know that the Word can be filled in you. Talk to God. If reading the Bible is a struggle, is a problem, talk to God about it. Be anxious for nothing. But through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The God of peace will cause His peace to guard your hearts and keep it. Talk to God. It will help you. It will help you. You'll be able to read the Bible. You'll be able to store what you are reading in you. It's good to store it because the day when it will be needful will come. Store the Word. Let it dwell in you richly. In enough of visitation of the Word. We want the Word to take up residence. We want to give it residential authority in our hearts. Enough of visiting visas. We want it to take up full residence in our hearts. It's not coming intermittently. It is there permanently. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you.
Come and your place, O Lord. Come and take your place, O Lord, in my heart. Come and take your place in my heart. Come and take your place. Come and take, come and take your place. Word of God, come and take your place, Jesus, in my heart. Come and take your place in my heart. Come and take.
Bible says that the Word of God dwell richly in all wisdom. You are teaching and admonishing one another.
In psalms, in hymns, singing spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts.
These are the things that should fill our hearts. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Fill your heart with the hymns of old. The hymns that hymned the praise of God. That hymned the worship of God. That hymned the adoration of God. The hymns that draw our attention to eternity.
Let's fill our hearts with the Word of God. Let it dwell abundantly. Abundantly. Abundantly.
The heart of man. There's so much space in it that it will take reading the Bible over and over again. Our lifetime, it still will not fill it. So that if we cease from filling our hearts with the Word of God, we risk permitting other things to have access in the space that is there. Fill your heart with the Word of God.
Read it. Study it. Understand it. Let the Word of God teach you what it is saying. Let the Holy Spirit teach you what is being said. What has been documented. You may think it has no bearing on your job. You may think it has no bearing on your education. You may think it has no bearing
on your marriage.
You may think it has no bearing on rearing children. You might think it has no bearing on doing business transactions and business deals and so on and so forth. But I tell you, it has bearing. You may think it has no bearing in facing the challenges of life.
But it has bearing.
Let the word of God dwell richly in you, brother. Let the word of God dwell richly in you, my sister.
Talk to the Lord. What you are doing, what we are doing now, like I've always said, is just a down payment.
You're going to go home.
And you're going to spend the rest number of hours and days praying this same thing, filling your heart with the word of God, filling your heart with hymns, loading yourself with what the Lord is saying. Feeling yourself from Genesis through Revelation. To every point. Feeling yourself with the meaning of the words.
Thank you, everlasting Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.